It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
It is 12 o'clock noon on Thursday, October 1st, 2020. Here we go, Las Vegas. It is Dan Duva, Gary Lawless with you, and this is a different edition of Nighttime at Noon, unlike our previous episodes, which have been running for, well, over a month now, and they will continue through next week with the NHL draft and the beginning of free agency. Gary Lawless, this is a day where we can step away from hockey for the most part and remember what happened 3 years ago today.
Yeah, obviously this is, I woke up this morning and I was talking to my wife and daughter about, our experience and what October 1 was like for us. Obviously, our family was unscathed. None of us were at the concert or anything like that, but it emotionally, that's something that we'll remember forever. We had just moved here. I moved here in June and they joined me in the middle of August. And, this was obviously very impactful early on in our time here and it continues to be. We're going to have some really great guests on in this show. And one of them is Derek Englund, and he can talk a lot about this in a different way than me because of how long his experience was. But this introduced me to Vegas in a different way. Everyone, after you've been here for a while, you realize that Vegas just isn't just the Strip. Well, this is when I found out about the people of Las Vegas and how great they are, how kind they are, and how they gather together.
So on the program today, Derek Englund will be joining us in just a few minutes. We will hear from the president of hockey operations, George McPhee. He'll join us in the final segment of the broadcast today. And we also will check in with one of the fans. We asked fans to send in voice memos, record their thoughts as they think back upon October 1, 2017. And while we'd love to share everyone's thoughts with you here on the radio, we felt it would be appropriate to share one person's thoughts. So we're going to play that a little bit later. And I'd like to play it when Derek Englund is on with us. Derek spoke to the fan base, spoke to the state, spoke to the country on October 10th, 2017, 9 days after the tragedy. And perhaps it's appropriate that one fan will, in a way, get to speak to Derek in this recording. So that's the other part of this, Gary, as we think about October 1 and what happened that night. It was a Sunday evening. It was the last day of the preseason. The Golden Knights had played the San Jose Sharks. It was 9 days later that the Golden Knights played their next game at T-Mobile Arena. They had gone on the road, beat Dallas, beat Arizona, and then they came home. And October 10th was where the resilience was on display for all to see. A lot happened in the days leading up, but I think of October 1 and the difficulty, the strain, the heartache. But October 10th was more than a week later. I can't imagine what it might have been like if the Golden Knights were to play their first game at home. Dallas and Arizona, those were just a couple days later. Mm-hmm. So many things had been planned to launch the franchise. And it seemed that the timing was enough time to heal so that on October 10th, you could launch hockey in Las Vegas and also commemorate.
You would have had to cancel games, quite frankly, if they had been any closer than that. There wouldn't have been, the community wouldn't have been able to put on a hockey game or to even imagine holding a hockey game or any sporting event. So I think that the opportunity for some breathing room there was very fortunate in that regard. And it just kind of was just the right moment where people were, in the midst of their grief and of putting their lives back together and starting to put one foot in front of the other, because that's the human experience, man. We got to move forward. That was just enough time where that was starting. And then the Golden Knights and Derek came along with a night that really transcends sports, and people will remember it. There was a hockey game that night, but it's not remembered as a hockey game. It's remembered as the moment when Vegas, put that flag in the ground and said, we're not going anywhere. we're going to be, and to borrow Derek's phrase, we're going to be Vegas strong, and they have been.
So many things were planned for that first game against Arizona. It was all thrown out the window. Some of the celebration for the launch of the franchise was put off to the fourth game, which was against Detroit a couple of days later. But what were your thoughts walking into the press box as the pregame ceremony was about to begin there on October 10th, Gary?
Yeah, you know, I didn't really know what the ceremony was going to be like. We'd heard a few things, and we'd had a little bit of game presentation in the preseason, but they had said to us, hey, we're holding all our big tricks back for October 10th. And, you know, just to go before that, walking into the press box, we came to work on October 2nd, and, like, you know, Kerry Buchholz, after finding where everyone was and making sure everyone was safe, you know, kind of pretty quickly flipped the switch on the entire organization and said, we were going to have a celebration. We got to do something different. And the people in game production really went to work and threw out that, you know, that opening night celebration and created something that we'll never forget. It was, you know, you got to tip your cap to Johnny Greco. He's gone now. All of our game operation folks, what the presentation folks, what they did was, it was award-winning and it was memorable. I'll tell you what I remember. I remember standing beside Eric Tosi for the 58-second moment of silence for the national anthem. I remember, you know, I cried a little bit. I had shivers. And then I don't remember an 06 goal, but I remember Derek's goal. And I remember thinking, this is a movie.
Before all of that, though, walking into the press box.
I don't remember, Dan.
we were thinking about how a packed T-Mobile arena would respond. There'd been buzz in the preseason games, but this is something different. And the first responders come onto the ice. The Coyotes line up, not opposing the Golden Knights, but behind them. And each first responder was recognized over the public address system. And I had interviewed Derek Englund earlier in the day. And Derek did not let on. There was going to be this spotlight and this opportunity to speak to the fans.
We knew a player was going to speak. I can remember someone telling us, or we got a memo to that effect.
So in talking with Derek for a pregame interview, it was a bigger picture thing. I didn't ask Derek specifically about what he might say. We thought that perhaps there could be something like that, but I don't think we quite grasped, at least for me, in the morning, talking with Derek for our pregame interview, I didn't anyhow grasp what the moment might be like. But here's how it sounded, October 10th, 2017, in Cut 1.
Like all of you, I'm proud to call Las Vegas home. I met my wife here, my kids were born here, and I know how special this city is. To all the brave first responders that have worked timelessly and courageously throughout this whole tragedy, we thank you. To the families and friends of the victims, know that we'll do everything we can to help you and our city heal. We are Vegas strong.
Sadness, there are tears of joy,
And there are the tears of the kind we just experienced.
All right, Golden Knights fans, it is time for history!
And then you hear Bruce Cusick whipping the crowd into a frenzy, and the starting lineups were introduced. They dropped the puck, and then they scored four goals in 6 minutes. Let's listen to those goals. Here's cut three.
Back in his own end, Nate Schmidt gets in the way, and the Golden Knights come back ahead. It's a two-on-one. Belmar flips ahead. Nosek score! Tomas Nosek, 1-0 Vegas. 1-0 Vegas, 15:45 to go in the first period. Leipzig a steal. He goes right circle. Leipzig backs off, feeds the point. Big shot score! It's England! It's 2-0! Now it's a steal. Eakin on the left. Feeds the middle. Just off the stick of Perron. And over to the far wall. He feeds the middle. Now a shot up top. That stopped. A rebound score. James Neal. Now make it another 3-0 Vegas. James Neal helps it to the right wing corner. Howler finds William Karlsson going up the wall toward the right point. Leaves it there for Garrison. Right circle and a seam pass for Smith. Sends it in front. Score! It's another for James Neal. 4-0 Vegas. Power play goal. 5 goals on the season for James Neal. And a 4-goal lead for the Golden Knights.
Ended up as a 5-2 victory. Oscar Lindberg got one later, and the Knights started their franchise with 3 wins in 3 games. You heard Derek Englund's goal. You heard Derek Englund's speech. When we come back, you'll hear from Derek Englund live. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
It is 12:15 here on October 1st, 2020. Welcome back to Nighttime at Noon. Golden Knights fans, VGK Authentics is the official home for game-used Golden Knights merchandise, game-used pucks, game-worn jerseys, and more. Own a piece of your favorite Golden Knights player at VegasTeamStore.com, the home for VGK Authentics. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless with you, and as advertised, you heard Derek Englund's speech from October 10th, 2017. You heard him score that goal. It was the second one at T-Mobile Arena after Nosek got the first. Knights won it 5-2 that day, and Derek Englund joins us now here in the studio. Hi, Derek. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Thanks very
well. Thanks for having me.
You got to listen to that. What came through your mind as you listened to the events of October 10th from a couple years back?
A lot of things. Just reminds you of the what happened that night. And, you know, it's so still to this day, there's so many different emotions. Like going into the October 10th game, you know, you're up because of a game, but you're down because of what happened, and you're trying to stay somewhat even keel, but you hear it 3 years later, and it's I still feel the same way, so many different emotions.
How did you choose the words?
Well, some help from the team and my wife. I definitely, that's not my specialty there, but...
Fooled me.
No, my wife, we sat down, went over it, and, you know, you wanted to hit everyone and... but keep it short and keep everyone focused on it, I guess you could say, and really speak from the heart. And I think I wasn't expecting the result, or not the result, but the feedback you got from a speech. I didn't think it was going to be that, I guess, powerful, you could say. But looking back on it now, it'll go down as one of the best, biggest things I do in my career, no matter what happens.
Had you heard it before? I mean, we all hear it. I mean, it's played quite a bit, but I can't imagine that you go out of your way to listen to this. Have you heard it much since you delivered that speech?
I think right away you heard it a few times. You know, here, I guess more than a few times, but no, you'll still be searching something, and it's there, so you see it, and it's okay. That's like, you know, it still brings, you know, motion to you, just hearing it, you know, and still makes you want to get out there and do more and help recognize those people like we're doing today.
And I would say, Gary, that to me, it's even more powerful now. I mean, it seems to grow, at least in my heart.
Well, for sure. It's, you know, Derek and I have talked about this. We talked about this spring. It's, you know, it will be a defining moment. I don't think just in your career, but in your life, obviously. I'm interested. You know, lots of guys play the day before their child is born, or even, you know, the child is born in the morning. If they're at home, they show up at the rink and play that afternoon, and their minds must be in different places. How did you focus on it? How did you get back to hockey that day?
Yeah, it was tough. I think, like you said, we had a couple road games to start, and going out and hearing responses from people around town that you knew from living here for so long, you know, and telling other guys and seeing them, their spirits lift because you're helping other people start to heal. And so going into that game at home, it was, you wanted to continue that. You wanted to continue building that healing process. And you know, when you hear from people saying, you know, it's just 3 hours of not thinking about what happened, you know, you wanted to put a good show on for those people to have that quiet time, I guess you could say, without going over with what happened. And, you know, it just, I think it fueled the team, and it definitely, as bad as it was, it definitely brought the community and the team together as one, and built a tremendous start to our seasons.
We came into the office on October 2nd, and there were conversations going on upstairs, and underneath in the player level, you guys were gathering, and George McPhee, you know, went to speak to you guys, and I'm told that, you know, you stood up right away and said, hey, we want to help. We want to get involved here. And the team supported and made time for you guys in those next few days to get out in the community and to really be part of that process. You'd been here for a long time, but the other guys, they hadn't unpacked their boxes yet. And now this tragedy happens, and they quickly went from just being mercenaries that show up in a town to collect a paycheck to play hockey, which was probably, you know, especially in an expansion situation, to immediately being neighbors and being part of the community. How proud were you of the guys around you that stepped forward in those next couple of days and really tried to help?
Yeah, extremely proud. You know, as soon as everything happened, guys reaching out, what can we do, sending food places, and trying to help. And you come here and, you know, I think it's in the sports world, in the hockey world, especially I know from experiences, everyone wants to get out and give back to the community. And, you know, I think everyone's seen what happened, and immediately they wanted to get out. And, you know, I think as a player, it's you don't think you're doing much. You're trying to do everything you can, but and it goes a long way to everyone else. And it, like I said before, it I feel like it really made the city into a tight community.
It's resonated quite a bit. We asked fans to submit voice memos, their recollections of October 1st, and I wish we could share everyone's thoughts, but we're going to hear now the voice of Peter Lithgow, who is a season ticket member. He has seats in section 215. Let's listen to Peter's commemoration of October 1 here in Cut 4.
October 1st, 2017 is a day I'll always remember. It was the last preseason game for the Golden Knights, and because it was an earlier start that day at 5, I was able to take my then 5-year-old to his first ever Golden Knights game. It was an awesome experience. We got there early, had a bunch of food, got there for warm-ups, and literally created some amazing memories that night. On the way home, we actually passed Route 91, and being a huge country fan, I knew a bunch of people there and knew they were having a blast. Little did I know a few hours later what would happen. The Golden Knights inserted themselves in the community the very next day. A bunch of players that barely knew each other, let alone knew the city of Las Vegas. And it was inspiring to watch them go into blood banks and hospitals, into police stations, into fire stations, and show their support. I think the events of October 1 and the way that the Golden Knights handled getting out in the community and being a part of us really created a bond that will last a lifetime. This is an amazing fan base that truly cares about their hockey team. And I think the relationships built and the relationships that we saw being formed so early in their existence to Vegas is something really, really special.
That's the voice of Peter Lithgow, a Golden Knights season ticket member, sits in section 215 with his family. Derek, when you hear Peter share his thoughts, what do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. Having lived here for a long time, you know, that sense of community, it really, really gelled together after that. And everyone, not just us, but everyone in this entire community, jumped out to help everyone else. You know, we went to pick up groceries, and we ran into at one grocery store at least 5, 6, 7 different groups of people going to grab food and take it to different food banks or fire station or police stations. So, you know, it was pretty special to see this community just stop everything and help everyone affected.
I remember it was the 1 year anniversary, and I was with you and some of the other players. We went to one of the dispatch centers to think of those folks who are answering the phones and trying to provide some direction to the first responders. That's one event. There are a number of things that are happening today as the Golden Knights reach out to the community. Do you think of things, whether it was through the Golden Knights here on a commemoration day, other moments in the last couple of years in connecting with some of those folks?
Yeah, there's lots. You know, before the team was here, I used to do a charity hockey game with the firefighters, and you know, we've done charity police first fire baseball game that I got to go watch, and that's some competitive stuff there, that's for sure.
I was at the
that was impressive.
I was at the summer before the, like, right after the expansion draft. It was at the Fiesta, I think. And I was at that game, and there was like 50 people there.
Yeah.
And now it's like those events that you're talking about. How many people show up at those now?
Yeah, it's
thousands, right?
Yeah, there's tons. So it's just special to see, and you want to go out every day and do what you can for all these people that put their lives on the line or keep our community safe or healthy. And, you know, there's not enough time in every day to honor those people and say thank you.
You do have your foundation, England's Heroes, where you look for people in the community that are helping and try and kind of shine a little spotlight on them. How rewarding is that for you to be able to, you know, I don't know if it stemmed from October 1, personally, I'm sure a little bit does, but what's it like to be able to continue thanking people?
It's great. You know, it started with October 1 and honoring everyone involved in that. And then we kind of grew it, expanded to just people that do amazing things in the community. And, you know, we've met, everyone has been amazing. But you've seen all these little charities and little things that people do on top of working and raising kids and their everyday life. It's pretty special to see how many different little organizations and charities and stuff there is that you didn't know about until you started getting these recommendations and stuff. So it's extremely rewarding to meet these people and see what they do.
Last thing for me, Derek, we think about the first responders. I also spend a lot of time when we think about this tragedy, the number 58 and the 58 stars on that banner that were hung at T-Mobile Arena that night, the 58 people who died, the nearly 500 people who suffered some kind of physical injury, but the thousands of people who were present at that concert who maybe don't show up as a statistic someplace, but experienced the horror. So while we mourn with the families of those who've died, we also endure with those who survived. For those people who are listening now, what might you say to someone who's trying to still live his or her life, having experienced such a horrible thing?
Well, I just keep fighting. You got to stay strong for everyone else around you as well. It's a terrible event that happened, and you don't ever want it to happen anywhere in this world. And you got to just stay strong. And like I said, everyone's Vegas strong here, and you got to keep that going.
Well, thanks, Derek. This is great. It's a very difficult subject. It's an important one, and it's really great to have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you.
That's Derek Englund, and when we come back, we have some details, some of the things that are going to be happening with the Golden Knights today. And don't forget, we also have George McPhee, Golden Knights President of Hockey Operations, coming up. He'll talk about October 1. We do ask him a couple of hockey questions as well. Before we get to that, we want to tell you about Golden Knights license plates. Best way to show your spirit, no matter where you are in Nevada, is with VGK license plates. Great way to night up your vehicle and show everybody on the road which team you root for. Head to dmvnv.com/plates and show your Vegas Golden Knights pride. We'll be right back. This is Fox Sports Las Vegas. 12:32 here in Las Vegas. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless on Nighttime at Noon. If you missed any of our interview with Derek Englund, we're going to make it available on our SoundCloud page. We'll also share with you the audio, the extended audio of the pregame ceremony from October 10th. And upcoming, you'll hear from George McPhee, president of hockey operations for the Golden Knights. We will make sure that interview is available in its entirety. Gary, I mentioned it with Derek Englund a few moments ago. There's been a lot of outreach on October 1st over the last couple of years, but other days too. The team's doing some things today. You're involved in that. What are you doing, and why is it important to you?
I'm going to the Summerlin Command Center, and it's important to me because, first responders, you never think about them until you need them, right? You know, and I happen to be, I've got lots of friends that are police officers, lots of friends that are firefighters, have met a ton here in Las Vegas. And we had an event at McKenzie River last year where we had a bunch of first responders over for that. And I spent the whole time mostly with two different groups of firefighters, and it was so much fun to get to talk to them. They're great people, and I want to go and thank these policemen and police women for everything they do to keep us safe. Because man, oh man, when something like this goes down, they're the most important people on the planet.
Incredible people, incredible people. Last thing, Gary, it's also neat to see when you go to these kinds of events and you're there with some of the players, and they're often wearing their jersey, and not that they're not recognized already, but you could see the people and their eyes just open up for those folks.
Well, cool. You know, Derek Englund's foundation is called Englund's Heroes. Derek's a bit of a hero, you know, and I think people in Vegas, they recognize that what he's given back to this community.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to chat with George McPhee, president of hockey operations of the Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon. This is Nighttime at Noon. Welcome back, everybody. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless, thanks for spending time with us on this Thursday, October 1st, 2020. We are delighted to be joined by our next guest, president of hockey operations with the Vegas Golden Knights, George McPhee. Hi, George. Thanks
Hi, Dan.
For being here.
How are you? Doing well. Thank you.
October 1st is normally, in the world of hockey, we think of the start of the season. Fall. Autumn is here. It's kind of getting into hockey season. But with what happened on October 1st, 2017, for all of us in this room, that sense of October 1 has changed permanently. So when you hear October 1st, what do you see? What do you feel?
Well, we'll never forget that date. We'll never forget that day. I would say for some people, it's over. For people in this market and with this hockey club, it'll never be over. And it's needless to say, it's not a good day. It's a memory you would like to, in some ways, compartmentalize, but you can't. You can't make it go away.
I joined the organization in June of 2017, and it was such a hopeful time, and a busy time. Like we were working at another office building, another of Bill Foley's businesses, and a lot of people were, there were six people sharing one office in the content and communication department. And you know, that whole summer, you know, the expansion draft, then the entry draft, and then, you know, we were building, then this City National Arena opened, and all of these just incredible milestones for the Golden Knights. And we had our, you know, we're getting, having our first preseason game and getting ready for all of this to lead up to the start of the regular season. And you had a lot of challenges, a lot of things on your plate. And then, you know, the unthinkable happens and you have to really pivot in a very different direction. Take us back to that night and that morning and maybe the, you know, the sort of 72 hours that followed.
Well, we had scheduled the game, our final preseason game, for that Sunday night, and we had moved the game up. We had asked San Jose if they wanted to start early. And I don't know whether that was a good thing or a bad thing, because if we had kept it where it was, some of our players may have been right in the middle of that, whatever you want to call it, that act. And because we all drive right by Mandalay Bay to get home. And I don't know, you know, would we have lost more lives if we were right in the middle of it? Would our players or staff or whoever's going by, could they have saved lives? Could they have gotten some people out? Don't know. But it was, you know, we had scheduled the game earlier. I got home, and I rarely ever turn my phone off, but one of the reasons we wanted to schedule the game earlier so we could get a good night's sleep for the first time and or the last time in a season. And I went to bed early. And I got up early, 5:30, 6 o'clock, to take the dog out, turn my phone on, and ping, 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 as you can imagine. And I said, something's going on here. And I started reading the text and then knew something really grave had happened, and went in and turned the television on and said, holy, you know, what can you say? And then, you know, you just try to get your head around it, figure out what's next, make sure your players are okay, and then you shift, you know, how can we help? But it was a, you know, it's a moment you don't ever forget. And I'd been too close to a couple of these things now. You know, I was in Washington when the Pentagon got hit. I was here for this, and it does terrorize people. You carry it with you for a long time.
You just said, how can we help?
Yep.
And that was, you know, I can, you know, my own experience isn't important, but one of the things that I'll remember forever, and I've told you, and I've told Kerry Buboltz this a couple of times, I was really proud to be a member of this organization, because that quickly became, you know, Kelly McCrimmon says we're in the winning business. Well, we got out of the winning business for a few days.
We did.
And got into the helping business.
Yeah.
And, you know, your players stepped up. Bill Foley stepped up. The whole organization did. And I know you just said it terrorizes you, but you must be very proud of how this organization did handle things in those few days.
Well, without question, because we were, you know, on one hand, we're just a hockey team. On the other hand, we were suddenly, you know, after going on the road, you know, we won our first game in Dallas, and I said, geez, what do you know, we won our first game. And then we get all kinds of texts, and a lot of people, you know, were there with Bill at a watch party and saying how excited he was and happy to hear that. And then it's flipped for me. I got a big lump in my throat thinking, geez, I hope in some way this helps lift some spirits in Vegas. And then we went again the next night. Now we're coming home. And again, we're just a hockey team on one hand. But on the other hand, you know, we're going to be at T-Mobile. It became a community hub. There's going to be 20,000 people there. It's all locals. You know, 95% of our fan base is locals. It's individuals, families, small businesses. And we're thrust on this other platform. We can't ignore October 1. You can't exploit it. We want none of that. We suddenly had to put together a ceremony that had to be just right. And I, as you said about Kelly, we're in the winning business. I never gave the game a second thought. I didn't care whether we won or lost. It was about doing what was right for this community and getting this ceremony right so people can grieve properly, remember, heal, start to, you know, just try and come out on the other side of this. And so we had to get that right. And we did. I think we got it just right. I'll never forget those 58 seconds, how long they were, how many lives were lost. But I remember going up now to the press box after the ceremony, and then my thinking shifted again. It went from, it wasn't about winning or losing. It now was just, we have to win now. We have to win. And I remember I hadn't even gotten my seat yet, and Nosek scored. And it was so loud. I was so startled by it. But it was this cathartic opportunity for people to smile and yell and be happy for a moment. And we scored a bunch of goals. And it was, I hope, a good thing for the community. And people could just have this release for the first time in over a week.
I thought about this long after the fact, George. Talking about Washington, D.C., I was in high school just outside New York City, September 11th. And in those cities, the New York Yankees and the New York Mets are well established. Everybody knows the Yankees and Mets and what that means to the community. Mike Piazza hits the home run. The Yankees are in the World Series. And the thought occurred to me long, long after October 10th. The Golden Knights got here just in the right time, just in the nick of time. Because this community would not have had a rallying point if it had not been for the Golden Knights arriving exactly when
That's
they did.
That's a really good observation that I'd never thought of, and you're right. You're right.
And I think now, as it has been a couple of years, it's hard to try to make something good out of something so awful, but we can't do anything else. We're human beings. We can't change the past. And I wonder what thoughts come to your mind when, as an organization or as an individual man, trying to do something good, not only on October 1, the year after, now it's going to be, here we are, the third, it's 3 years, and going forward. October 1 is always going to be part of this organization. What things come to your mind when you talk about a long-standing good out of something bad?
Well, this can often happen when you have, you know, when you see the worst of the human experience. When something like that happens, something more beautiful comes along that is the best of the human experience. And it was the way this community came together, certainly with the way our players responded. And, you know, people see lots of what they do because they're public figures, and it is on television or radio or in the newspapers, but it was what so many of our players have done sort of offline that very few people know about, and they continue to do. Like what our guys were doing then, what Derek Englund and those guys were doing then, was really something special. And so we move on, but you know, this hockey team will never forget, and we will always, always. It's not enough for us just to be a hockey team in town trying to win. We have to do everything we can to help in every way we can in this community, whether it's October 1 or various charities. That's what makes this all worthwhile to all of us. It's what, in the end, really matters.
It is funny, you know, it takes it takes years to develop a culture that you just spoke of, and it happened in warp speed here. Like, it went from literally from not having played a game to being an organization that understood its responsibility, lived up to its responsibility, and created responsibility. I hope this sounds right. A legacy of responsibility that needed to be carried forward.
Yeah, carry the torch is what I think.
Full time.
Yeah,
and never let it down.
Well, when we arrived here, we had, huge expectations about what our culture was going to be from our experiences in the game, what we had to get in terms of culture. But when you sort of couple that with Bill Foley, who has done everything right, and it's just made it this first class organization. He's been a 5-star general through all of this. Whatever we ask for, we get, and he is a huge part of the culture here, and it's why this organization is what it is.
They handed out the Stanley Cup this week, and I watched it, and I was immediately I was taken back to that snowy night in St. Paul in the middle of March when Dan and Shane Knighty and Dave Gosher and I were having an after dinner drink, and my phone started to pop, and I looked at them, and we decided we were going to go spend all our per diem because we didn't think we were going to we didn't think we were going to need it for the rest of the trip. And I sent Gary Bettman a text last night and said I'm really proud of the NHL. I thought that how they did it and what they did was tremendous. You've been in the game as a player and a manager in this league for a little while. What'd you think?
I don't think it could have been done better. I thought that the way that the league, the Players Association, the players, the Alberta government, the Canadian federal government, the way it all came together, the extraordinary amount of cooperation, and the depth of everything that they did and how well it was done, was really something. In the middle of a pandemic and everything else, to pull off what they pulled off, to have all those athletes in these hubs and bring it together, and to get all through the playoffs and award a championship without a single positive test, and provide entertainment, and make it, it really was a great experience for all of us to be there. Some of us would like to go back. it was really well done. I thought Gary Bettman, his comments were really good. There's some relief. There was, for him, I'm sure, and probably some real satisfaction and pride in pulling it off and getting it done.
They sure managed to pull it off. And one of the critiques going into this, not only the concern about doing this with safety, but the caliber of hockey. Would teams check out? Would this be a true Stanley Cup postseason? I think that and what I saw, George, was incredible hockey.
Yeah.
What did you see?
Yeah, I saw the same thing. It was really, really intense. It was amazing to see that intensity without the fans in there, like that the players could get it to that level.
Just to interrupt, it shows you what the Stanley Cup really means mm-hmm. to players, because you removed everything else. It was as pure as it gets.
Yeah.
They were playing for that trophy, and boy, did they play. And sorry for
they sure did. No, it was an appropriate comment. And your crowd can inspire you and make you play even better. And the guys that played in this tournament really had to dig deep at different times. To get to the levels that they had to be, it was might have been the hardest cup to ever win.
I exchanged text messages with Julien Brisebois after the championship, and he said, "So hard to win, so awesome to win." Mm-hmm. And I couldn't help but think of an old line from the 1700s and Thomas Paine: "The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph."
Sure.
And for the Tampa Bay Lightning, who had gone from President's Trophy, swept in the first round. They come back with some changes. Steve Yzerman moves on to Detroit. Julian Brisebois assumes the general manager mantle. What did you see in the Tampa Bay Lightning in achieving this remarkable Stanley Cup? And what might the rest of the league learn from how they did it?
Well, they did it the right way. It was really drafting and developing and establishing the right culture and real good management of the salary cap. They did a really good job, and I don't know that it's really novel. It's just the right way to do it, and most teams can look at that and say they did it really well. They drafted really well, and they developed those players, and they didn't throw a lot of money around trying to bring things in from the outside. They had their core group, and they had to work around the edges, and that's the best way to be able to do it. You've drafted well enough that you've got your core. They did a good job, and they needed to add a little grit this year to balance it out. It's the one thing they were lacking. But they had a really good hockey team, and they've had several good teams on the ice, and you're not going to win every year, and it's hard to get there and win, and they kicked the door down this year.
We sure did. Impressive stuff.
I had a couple other questions, but I'm the only guy in the room here that doesn't have an Ivy League deal. I can't go all Thomas Paine on you, George. So,
just do your Henry Thoreau then.
See, now you just went up to that.
Just do your best.
Just do your best. There you go. I'm out.
Last thing, George, before we let you go, we know that the draft is coming up. Free agency is set to begin, and we'll be covering live from Rock Creek in Montana all next week. Where are you right now? How's your mindset feeling getting ready for what I'm sure will be already are busy times, but especially those draft days coming up?
Yeah, well, they're exciting times. The next couple of weeks will be really intense as we focus on trying to find the right players in the draft and see what else is going on in our business and how can we make our team better. And, you know, we'll be dialed in and have the work boots on and see what we can accomplish.
George McPhee, thank you so much for spending time with us. We greatly appreciate and continued success.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, George.
And thank you, the Golden Knights fan. You are the living proof. On we go.